Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back into it, it's Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by Currency. For all your equipment financing needs, go Currency. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, and Husker standout and two-time Super Bowl champ Russ Hochstein back with us. Russ, we end up talking with each other quite a bit this time of year, either for Super Bowls or retirements. The topic today, retirement, and your dear friend Tom Brady hanging him up. Do you believe, Russ, that this is for good?
Well, it's a great question. It's a loaded question to start with, but I would never say never. I listened and watched the same Twitter feed that you guys did, and he seems pretty genuine, and you just never know. But, you know, he's already been through it once, and now this would be the second time. I would have a hard time believing that he's not really retiring, and I think he's done once and for all. I don't think he wants to come back and be compared to any other quarterbacks that have done it multiple times. So I would assume he's done for good, and we will see where he ends up.
How's he going to take that?
I don't know. It's you know, I'm a former player, and when your day is done, and mine was many years ago already. It's weird because you've had such a structured life for so many years, and then you now have all this time and this ability and some money to go do some things that you want to do. So I hope he enjoys it. I hope he takes a little time away and enjoys it all. I understand there's a pretty nice contract laying out there from Fox to get in the booth or to help him in the sports talk world or sports TV world. So it looks like he's kind of got somewhat of a future planned out for himself, but who knows? You just never know, and I just wish him the best. It's a sad day. He is the greatest of all time, and it's any time a great retires, it hurts a little bit. It takes away from the game just a little bit, and maybe opens the door for the next talents to come in.
Russ, tell me about that moment of realization for you that, you know what, it was time to hang up the cleats, it was time to end the playing career. Was it a long walk on the beach like Tom Brady?
No. Mine was, you know, I had already played and completed 12 years in my career, and I kind of came to the realization that I was 35 going on to 36, and to go through another training camp. Back in the days when we actually hit a little bit more than they do currently, it was a lot more physical back then as far as getting to training camp. And when you get older, that gets a little bit harder. A lot of maintenance on the body, a lot of time in the training room and the weight room. The older you get, the harder you have to work to stay on the field. And that gets exhausting, and it takes away from a lot of things you do. And so, you know, I kind of came to the realization I didn't want to go to the 13th training camp, but I would have absolutely loved to have got a phone call after training camp at my age, somebody bring me in and let me be a swing guy for them and help them up front. But my phone calls never came, and probably, you know, you go about a month or two into the season, and you realize, well, I guess the phone's not going to ring. It's time to start planning out my future, and that's kind of when it really hits. And then the next stage is kind of figuring out what you want to do. There's also a little fear that comes into that, like, man, what am I going to do? And who am I going to help? Who am I going to work for? What am I going to do? And things like that. But like anything, you got to deal with it step by step and kind of take it from there.
Russ Hochstein joining us, Hail Varsity Radio. A lot of playoff wins, two Super Bowls with Tom. And what's Tom like kind of behind the curtain? I saw a really good story today from a teammate's wife who worked in an animal shelter, and Tom would take his kids and they'd spend time with each week and work with puppies or dogs. So that was a family moment, which was really cool. You've had more camaraderie than most with teammates and in the Belichick kind of regime. So give us a peek into the personality of Tom. We see him one way on the field, and I would assume you see him that same way on the practice field, but away from the field, what's Tom like to be around?
Well, I mean, I think he just summed it up pretty well there. On the field, he was tenacious, and he's a great competitor and hated to lose. I think we all know that. It's well documented. Mm-hmm. And off the field, he is just one of us. I always felt Tom would talk to anybody that was around him in the locker room. There was no, hey, I'm better than you or anything like that. He was simply just kind of one of the teammates you had. And you joked around with, you played pranks with, you pulled pranks on. You had to be careful pulling a prank on a guy that had a lot more money than you because it could get really ugly for you. But with that being said, literally, you go out and have a beer with you and go out and have dinner with the O-line and be a part of all those things. And certainly in my era, I mean, that's obviously when he was kind of on his rise, or his ascension into greatness. And maybe changed a little bit later in his career. And it gets harder, too, you know, when you get older in the league and you get past that 10-year mark and you're kind of the old guy in the room. And what you want to do after practice and after games changes compared to what it was when you're in your 20s and you want to go out and have a little fun and hang with the guys, go catch a movie, things like that. Now you're married, you have kids, and you got a lot of different issues to deal with. So, I absolutely always looked at Tom as one of us and he was a band of brothers. He was just, one of the greatest teammates I had. He was a great leader. He's a great example. I mean, you can look over his career, any young kids out there today listening, you can look at a guy like him and he was a role model and he acted that way. And he was very put together. He's very polished. You never really heard him, get out of line in the media. Off the field at all, or in much trouble. So, you know, you can't ask for a better role model in that situation. And just a great guy. I plan on hopefully someday being at his Hall of Fame induction. I'm pretty sure he's probably going to be in the Ring of Fame up here in New England. And I definitely know he's going to be in Canton. So hopefully I get to be around and give him a hug and a handshake and congratulate him, because it was a lot of fun to be with him on that journey, and obviously the memories and the wins we had here is pretty amazing.
I want to go into the pranks. Can you divulge anything?
They were good. They were good. Let's put it through that way. I don't want to give people bad ideas or good ideas and expensive ideas, but there was always some good ones, and a couple. One of them involved somebody's vehicle in a parking lot with no tires on it when they came back from practice. So there's been some good pranks pulled over the years. And that guy's been in the middle of them. I tell you what, his teammates loved him for it. We all loved him for it, because you got to have a sense of humor. You know, in football, you always have to joke. You got to kind of embrace the misery along with all the celebrations that you have. And so keeping things lighthearted and fun was definitely part of Tom's game.
Well, if you're not going to give me any ammunition for pranking my roommates, Russ, let's switch gears a little bit. And just talk about his career as a whole, as you remember it. Let's say Tom's getting inducted into Canton and you're making a tribute video. Someone reaches out and says, Russ, give me the one trait from playing with Tom Brady that made him so great. What would your answer be?
Oh, determination. Probably comes to my mind more than anything. And I wasn't there, obviously, when he played in Atlanta. When he came back in the Atlanta mm-hmm. Super Bowl. But that is something we saw. In his younger years, all the way through the time, the 7 years or 8 years I played with him, man, when he was on a practice field and in a game, the determination to win was always there. And it was, you could see it in his eyes, his temperament, his mood, his leadership. He hated to lose. And I was watching some shows not too long ago about talking about Michael Jordan, kind of the same way, mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant, and all the greats, Tiger Woods, they hate losing. And he's obviously could be mentioned and should be in that group of gentlemen that I just mentioned. Just hated to lose, and it permeated him, and it spread to every teammate around him. You understood the situation you're in. He's there. We're going to do this. This is how we're going to do it. And bam. And he went out and did it and did it and did it. And I mean, you look at his career. He was in 10 Super. I mean, that's unbelievable in the modern day era in free agency to be in 10 Super Bowls. He's got 7 championships, 5 Super Bowl MVPs, I mean, all the stats go with it, but it's just amazing to think that he was at the center of all of that over a, you know, until he was 45 years old is pretty amazing.
I just look at him and I look at the quarterbacks in the NFL and I was thinking, okay, what about San Francisco? Another year in Tampa. What about Vegas and McDaniel? What about New England, a reunion? He still can play at a high level. It's not what it was 3 years ago. And listen, I can't throw a football 20 yards in a spiral, so I'm not judging or knocking. I'm just saying at his age, you fall off. At all of our ages, you fall off a little bit. But still, with the right things around him, he can still go win a lot of ball games. I think he still has wins left in him.
Well, and my response is, it is pretty amazing. I heard somebody say this on this morning. Tom wanted to play until you just absolutely can't play no more. And the hardest thing about all of this is watching a great like him is he was slinging the rock all the way through this year. Mm-hmm. Yes, is he maybe a little more skittish in the huddle and doesn't want to get beat up and sacked a bunch of times? Yeah, maybe that changes over time. But man, when you watch him just throw a football, the pure throwing ability he still has and where he puts the ball and directs traffic and blitz pickup and those things, there's only maybe three or four guys in the league at this time that are also, by the way, 20 years younger than him that are even in his category. So it is still amazing to think he doesn't suck. He didn't play till his arm fell off, or anything like that. He just simply was still smooth old Tom, go out and could still win a game at any time. He threw for unbelievable numbers this year anyway. But it's the hardest thing for me is like, God, he's still got a lot. I always look at him as he's got so much left in the tank yet. Like, could he play till 50? And man, would it be fun to watch him with the toys they had in Miami and Vegas and San Francisco. It would be awesome. And I'd be front row and center to watch that happen. And I would love to see it, really would. And but you know what? It comes down to him, and none of us can speak for him. As we know, everybody individually has to make their own decision. But it would be fun to watch with all those receivers and tight ends that are around the league in those three teams. And even more than that, there's a lot of other teams that he'd fit really good on. But it's hard to watch a man walk away when you still look at him and think, I think he's got a lot left in the tank.
Russ, do you think Tom Brady's one of those guys that no matter what his next venture in life is going to be, it's going to be successful? You mentioned potentially heading over to Fox and becoming a broadcaster. I think, you look at him and potential football coach, quarterbacks coach comes to mind as another option. Is he just one of those guys that, he's got the Midas touch, whatever he touches is going to turn to gold, and whatever he does with his next stage in life is going to turn to gold as well?
Well, I think he's very calculated, and I think he's very bright, as you know. I mean, he's a quarterback. He's not dumb. This guy knows what he's doing, and I think he's smart enough to put himself in a good situation that's going to help himself succeed. I have no idea if he'll be great in the broadcast booth. I've heard a lot of conversations today when I was driving on the road at Sports Talk Radio up here. Was like, oh, who's he going to, is he going to take over the number one spot right away for Fox and, where Tony Romo stands and all these guys. And whatever he does, I think he will be successful. I hope he is. I'm rooting for him. He's a friend of mine, and he has been so successful, so you just kind of naturally assume that. Here's one for you guys. Maybe you can start this rumor. I would love to see him being an owner of an NFL team. Wouldn't that be fun?
I think I think he probably tried to get partial owner. I mean, I don't know this, but I think with Miami, honestly, no, Russ.
I know I heard all the same rumors and talk that you guys heard, and it has ever since I've heard that is fascinating because I've also heard similar things from a few other guys that are no longer in the league, but I just think that's absolutely fascinating. And watching what Elway did in Denver those years and signing some big name free agents and how you can turn a franchise around, I think he'd be really suited for that as well. But who knows? Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of work and time and commitment as well. And knowing him, he probably wants to be with his family a lot. And that takes time.
Russ, last thought before we say goodbye, and it's fun to get caught up with you. Nebraska, a new head coach, Matt Rhule, coming from the NFL. He's a big line of scrimmage guy. They really emphasize relationships. He said today at the presser that, we're doing our job getting out to high schools, but Nebraska's been visiting about every school, big and small. What's that mean to a small community when a Nebraska coach comes to visit and take part? Because I know you're a guy from a great community that that ended up playing high level football in Lincoln.
Oh, it means the world. You know, I think Matt Rhule's handling it really well. You know, getting out, getting in the smaller communities, being seen. You know, obviously your time is limited as a coach, so you can't just drive around for the hell of it and look at players. But I think he's probably got some kids that are targeted. There is a lot of good football played in small communities in Nebraska and Indiana and Kansas and Oklahoma, South Dakota, all of our states. And we're rural and very rural areas. And I think the notoriety, the name of kids doesn't always get out there like it probably should to help promote the kid. But I know in the modern day world, we're doing a much better job of that than even when I was there in the 90s. But yeah, absolutely, it means a ton to those communities. Communities rally around their players. And when you get to play in a rural, when you come from a rural community in Nebraska and go to the big town of Lincoln and get to play big time football, it is special. I lived it. I am so thankful for all those people who rooted for me. I still go back to my hometown. My family still lives there. I love it. I would love to do it more often than I am now. But it really does mean something, and it kind of galvanizes the entire state and helps bring on, you know, and keep that fan base strong.
Russ, we'll check in again soon. Thanks for your time today, bud.
Hey, thank you guys, and stay warm.